Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information to expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers. Welcome back to the Art of Network Engineering podcast. I am AJ Murray at No Blinky Blinky. And tonight we've got Dan. How you doing?
Howdy.
What's new with Dan?
Just working, busy. What about you?
I'm very impressed with your new threads, Dan. I know people can't see this at home, but Dan is sporting the new Art of Network Engineering hoodie, and it looks fabulous.
I didn't see that. Nice.
Thank you.
Is it comfy?
It is comfy, yeah.
You look like $1 million.
I've got the t-shirt.
Or at least my t-shirt like 150. Came
in. That's comfy. Oh, yeah? It's really comfy. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. I got the hoodie, and nice. It's good, too. It's really nice. Light, though. Not like Dan's. It's light.
I ordered a t-shirt. I'm waiting on it.
It's coming. Nice.
Can't wait. Andy, how you doing?
I'm good, AJ. I'm excited.
I can tell. You did your hair. You did some push-ups. You're ready to go.
He brushed his teeth.
And not necessarily in that order. He did some push-ups while he was combing his hair. He's a man of many talents.
I can see that. Last but not least, Aaron, what's new with you?
Yo.
Absolutely nothing.
Kind of excited for this a little bit because we are the guests and you've got a surprise for us. The three of us, me, Dan,
no idea
what you're going to ask us by design. So, collectively we're stoked.
So,
slightly frightened.
What I did... And this is a kind of a spinoff of a project that I'm doing with Gerard. You guys know Gerard from the Discord. Him and I are working on this little side project. And I was just like, dude, can I take this to the podcast? He's like, yeah, man, go for it. So here we are. So we went online and we went into, the CCNA subreddit. I think we went into the network subreddit. I went on to a couple of Facebook groups that I'm in. They're study groups for CCNA, CCMP. And we found... like the top questions that people keep asking, right? And they range. They're kind of all over the board, but they were definitely questions that kept coming up. You know, it wasn't just like the one-off, you know, but these are questions that I kept seeing over and over again. So,
AJ, you say it's from RCCNA?
From RCCNA, r/networking, a couple of other subreddits, Facebook group. Actually got some from the Discord here as well, from the A1 Fans channel. I dropped some questions in there to see if people could throw some questions our way. So we got some good stuff. A couple of them might trigger Andy, but we'll get through it.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't.
I'm not the oversensitive millennial. What are you talking about,
just wait
bro?
Till we get there.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Boomer.
I'm not a boomer. I'm just a bro.
I like my Pepsi crystal clear.
I'm still relevant.
I don't know how to tell you this, but Michael Jackson died.
I drank Zima, damn it. God. Oh, Michael Jackson. Zima. Oh, bro. Billie Jean is the best baseline ever.
What happened?
Continue, AJ.
All right. So without further ado, let's do this.
All right.
How long to complete the CCNA?
No.
Wait, hold on. Is that the full question? How long to complete the CCNA?
A lot of people would
just write how. All right, here's where I would start.
How long does it take to complete the CCNA?
So how long did it take us? Or how long do we think it should take somebody?
Like, how long does it take to complete the CCNA? And Dan, I think you hit it on the head. It depends, right? Like, it depends. How long do you have to commit to studying? How technical are you? Have you ever done anything with computers at all? Like there is no set, like, you know, 3 months, 2 months, 6 months. Like
Are you already working in networking? Right. That helps.
Definitely.
I was not. And it
took
me 2 years.
Do you want my answer?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Why are you asking how long it takes to get something like it's a rotisserie chicken?
Right.
Like, yo, how long do you cook a rotisserie chicken? That's how you get a quantitative number. Like,
it depends what temp are you cooking it at.
Till it gets to 165.
Yeah, it doesn't really, right? You just, you got to get to one.
It's done when it's done.
Like,
here's the deal. It'll take longer to cook that chicken in the mountains than at sea level. It depends.
Yeah, so if you're studying in the mountains, good luck.
Yeah, bro.
I hate that question. Hey, I really do. That's triggering me.
It's one that, it, you know, love it, like it or hate it, it's one that keeps coming up. And I think you just kind of got to, like,
it's a fair, if it's a fair, it's a question from, right? Someone, put yourself in those people's
shoes. It's a question, like, for someone who's they don't know. Yeah, you're right. A question for someone who is, like, concerned, like, and they're at a decision point in their life. What do I do? Like, they're asking that's maybe the first problem. You're asking the internet for what you should do with your life, basically.
Yeah,
right?
You're,
like,
on Reddit asking for advice.
Yeah, don't do that. Like, when you say, so there's two schools of thought here, because this is like how you, like, talk to a child, right? Like, how do you want them to grow? Do you want them to learn on their own, or do you just say it's really easy so that they think it's easy and then they just do it, right? Like, part of me wants everybody to go in there and be like, dude, you could do that in 2 weeks. Because, like, you could do it in 2 weeks. Like, that's very possible.
Yep.
Right? So, yeah, results may vary, obviously, but there's just so many different answers you're going to get. Like,
and what's behind that question, right? Like, it might be somebody, like, as you're talking, I'm thinking, like, all right, this could be a young dude. His wife just got pregnant. He's in a crap job and he's got to get his crap together. He might be like, you know what I mean? I got 6 months till this baby's here. Can I do? I mean, you know, maybe there's some of that. Like, if you're asking that question, you must be in some type of time crunch.
Or you just think that everything has a time associated with it, right?
Or who was our guest that was working and they came to her and said, get your CCNA or you're out of here. I forget. Was it?
It was Dara.
Somebody was.
They were going to lay off some people.
They came to her and said, everybody's got to get started up or you're out.
That was
so
her.
Like, you know, there's another situation, you know, like, I'm going to lose my job if I don't get it. Yep. They told me by X. So,
yeah, that'll put some pressure on you.
You know, it's a fair question, but people like us, I can see. Yeah, just come on, it depends.
I don't even like that it depends. Like, I mean, yeah, everything depends, you know, like how long are you going to live? It depends. You know, like,
listen, we can't answer all these questions with it depends.
I know.
That's the network
you can't
that goes
do that, though.
This is going to be a horrible episode if we say it depends 10 times.
Okay,
and thanks
rule,
for stopping
new
by.
Rule. If it's forcing you to quantify a number that you think is not non-existent, do it anyway. Okay. Give me your best shot.
I think your background, it depends on your background.
You just said we couldn't say that.
No, but okay. So I'm sorry. We'll edit that out. I just broke the rule. You know, for a person that's got 5 years of production experience in a network studying for that test is going to be a hell of a lot different than clueless cable guy Andy sitting in his truck like, oh my God.
Do you think anybody that
has
5 years of experience goes on Reddit and says how long to see a CNA in that exact verbiage?
Internet's a weird world.
I don't think they do.
I agree with Andy. It is a weird
world. I know a guy. His name is John. I worked with him at the Comcast Knock. He's still there. He still doesn't have a CCNA. This is a guy with 15 years production experience.
Is he trying to go for a CCNA?
I don't know. I don't think he wants it. And he doesn't need it. And they're not bothering him. But there was a time when I worked with him. They were like, dude, you need to get your CCNA.
Asked that on Reddit?
Maybe.
besides DR, there's another example of somebody at work and they're like, you need to get your CCNA. And he's like, I don't want to do that. But, you know, how much of my time do I, like, somebody who doesn't want it, who's being made to do it, they might want to know how much of this of my life is going to, I mean, I get you. It's an annoying question, but at the same time, we're here to answer it.
So what's the number then?
Two years.
Okay.
That's what it took me. I mean, what other answer could I give?
I would say 6 months.
You do have 15 certs. So that makes sense.
I just know that like, 50 years ago, we put like 3 people on the moon. Like, I could figure out how to subnet. You know what I mean?
We haven't been there since.
But I can subnet. You know what I mean? Like I'll figure it out. Right? Of course, we all do. Like, in hindsight, we're like, it wasn't that hard, right? Like, it was very surface level. But like, it's actually like the hardest in the way of like you're learning a new way of thinking, you know, and like different technologies and like how things. But once you get it, like, things only get easier from there anyway. If you're listening to this and you want to know how long to CCNA, I would say how long to CCNP from zero, right? Same deal.
At AJ's job, they get paid to study. They have study X hours. Percent of their day that management has said study. It's going to take AJ's folks probably faster than somebody like me who can barely breathe during the workday. So I'm not going to say it depends.
All right, AJ, next question. I think you got our answers.
All right. Let's see here. Suggestions on a beginner networking home lab.
EvenG.
Packet tracer.
Okay, beginner.
Are we talking about beginner?
Beginner. Or?
Packet tracer.
Packet tracer. It's free.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You just go sign up at netacad.com and you can register for that Packet Tracer 101 class, and that'll give you access to download Packet Tracer. It has
I used it for my CCNA. Yeah,
it's got its shortcomings, but if you have zero experience and you want to get started for free or minimal cost, that is the way to do it. And every version they come out with, it gets a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And in fact, now you can run it on PC and it's supported on Mac and Linux. Mm-hmm. So it used to be it was only supported on PC and you could hack it onto Linux or Mac, but now it's just officially supported everywhere.
I have a question. Does the new blueprint have virtualization in it?
To an extent, yeah.
Then does it make more sense to get a cheap server and and something?
Well,
like, do you need to go to that extent or no?
The easiest thing to do, packet tracer.
Yep.
Now, if you got any type of money whatsoever to spend, now we can start having a conversation as to where you should spend your money. Because, because if the question is, where should I spend my money to learn? I'm sure we could go on for hours about that, right? Because there's...
Yeah, packet tracer's answer that question.
Packet tracer. Definitely.
Easy entry, install it,
and who knows? It's free, right? So, the best thing about it being free is if, you're, a month into it, and you're like, you know what? I absolutely hate this. It sucks. All right, cool. There it is.
Yeah, and there's no, crazy installation or anything like that. It's just an application.
Easy. Yep.
So they used to have a... Speaking of, they used to have an iPhone app. Do they still have that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used it on my iPad a little bit.
I definitely played on it one time.
It was awful.
But I don't know.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. But I don't know if they still have it.
I was trying to maximize my time. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm on the go. I'm on the subway. On the way to work in the Big Apple. No. That's never been me. All right, next question.
All right.
Doing packet tracers.
Starting study material. What's the best material to start with when you're studying for your CCNA?
Well, I guess the OCG would probably be one because it's going to go, by the blueprint there.
I agree with that answer, but for a different reason. Because you get free practice quizzes.
Yes.
And you get end of the chapter quizzes, and then you also get the, did I know this already?
Yeah.
Dicta. Yeah. With those three groups of questions.
I have a different answer.
Andy.
Well, let's hear it.
Cisco Networking Academy.
Oh. How much is that?
That's
three
expensive.
Grand.
Yeah.
But we have had guests on here that took it for free in high school.
True.
So depending on where you're at, it might be free.
Well, $3,000 is a lot. Yeah. But there's no limit. Yeah, there's no limit to the dollar amount. So best bang for your buck, though. How many books could you buy for $3,000, right?
Yeah, well, right, but I spent 8 hours a week with a CCMP instructor. I was in their lab there, which was a beast of a lab. It was real gear. And I was with 15 peers, quote unquote, study group or community. Okay. So, there's advantages to it if it's free, but I don't know. That's my 2 cents. So OCG for sure, but Cisco Network Academy will.
So this is study material. Are we limiting it to just books or what else would we recommend?
No. Well, like CBT nuggets.
CBT nuggets and the OCG is
boson,
what I would do.
All that stuff, right? Yeah. Let's say you had it in. Yeah, all right. Boson. Let's say you just won the lottery and you decided you're going to get a CCNA. I don't know why you would do that.
Invest in yourself. Yeah.
You didn't win.
Yeah.
You didn't win much money. It was $1,000 lottery.
Sense. And when I was saying it, it just was like, wait, what? Pretend that you have a job so you can afford study materials, or like AJ's job, who pays for the study materials in some cases. And they said, all right, you know what? We'll reimburse you for everything. What are you going to buy? What's your Iron Man lineup of study materials to where you have no freaking excuses?
OCG, CBT nuggets,
Boson.
And I think you need a lab
and a physical lab.
We're talking about
a physical lab.
Yes. Right. That's they're the
that's four. The wombo combo right yep. there.
That's it. You have if you have that,
the Grand Slam.
You now, is there anything that you can supplement with that you don't have to pay for?
Like what?
Well, there's plenty of labs out there on YouTube, right? Like there's plenty of videos of people showing you how to do stuff on labs. So if you're stuck, oh, yeah. you know, you can always like white papers, Cisco documentation.
I mean, they're free. They're free.
Extra free.
You can read RFCs. I mean, you can get everything you need in the RFCs.
I wouldn't recommend starting with the RFCs, YouTube. Though.
Blogs. No.
A little dry.
Well, you were saying like a free version. Drier than Cisco Press?
Yes. Yes. 100%.
I know. I love me Cisco.
No, but have you read the RFCs, though? My gosh.
I have. They're rough.
Left to interpretation. But yeah, no, I wouldn't limit it to that. But hey, we know the Grand Slam is a video series. Like, let's just nail down materials, right? Video series, book,
practice,
lab,
practice exams.
Practice
exams. And all that. Yep. Yep. Like the good thing about Boson is you can get the XSIM and the NetSIM.
Yep.
So you can get the practice labs too.
Yeah, the NetSIM. That's a good supplement for gear, right? Like that's like you're working on the gear.
You know, I was thinking, it's weird you asked this question because I was thinking something roughly around this idea like 2 or 3 days ago. And I was thinking to myself, like, if I only had so much money, like what would I get? Like a budget. So basically your question with a budget and knowing what I know now and like, not just about like the different products, but additionally, like how people learn in general, I would say that the one thing that I would go back in time and tell my past self to get would to be just the Boson tests.
Mm. Yeah. I didn't do my, didn't use Boson for my CCNA. And I used it for Encore, and that was the game changer.
Yep. So, I've been using it. I did ICD-2 with it. And then I got all three of the CCNP tests worth of stuff. Like, the catalog. And that's for both. That's for the XSIM and the NetSIM. So I have, like, the whole...
I was going to ask you that. You got the NetSIM too? I've never seen NetSIM.
I have the whole trouble ticket topology. So what was really cool is you remember like on T-Shoot, like it was just one topology. It was shared. It was all over the internet. It was all good. And so they just duplicated that and it was really rad. So basically like they would just give you tickets. And what I liked about it is they didn't name the tickets. They just numbered them. So I would just go in and there was like 20 tickets or something in there, which was about roughly equivalent to what the test was. And I'd just double click a random number. So I would have no idea what it was. And I would just go through my troubleshooting steps and I would knock out all 20 of them as fast as I could. And I was down to like a minute and a half.
And that was XSIM, right?
Yeah.
I used XSIM for T-Shoot. NetSIM? Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought XSIM was the testing engine.
XSIM is the exam. It's exam, EX.
So what is NetSIM?
It's the simulator. Like it's basically like their packet tracer.
It's like routers and switches. Yeah. Okay.
Have
you guys used
that? That's what I'm talking about. It was like the T-Shoot tickets and all that stuff was in there. But even for ICND,
because I used XSIM for T-Shoot, which was really helpful.
Yeah, super helpful. Yeah, I would say that was obviously because that one was the one you actually had to go in and actually do stuff for once on a test. So anyway, sorry, AJ.
Hey, no worries. This is a great conversation. So on to the next. I think this is going to be a good one. How do you study when you don't feel like studying?
I'm going to let Andy answer this one. let's hear Andy's take. Let's hear Andy's take.
I don't have the
answer. Maybe the answer is you don't. Like, why? Why would you?
I mean, there's a lot of truth in what people have said, like, and what the guy that Knox quoted that we were digging around on Twitter. I mean, you know, if you want it as much as you want air, you'll do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I can tell you that I don't want it as much as I want air. So I could give 1,000 excuses, but. I mean, I could have not been on here tonight and spent my Thursday studying, which is what, you know, I talked about doing, but we're doing Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I want to do this podcast more than I want to study.
Is it weird that it's like when you don't want to study, like, why is it that the opposite equals something else? Like it doesn't. So it's like, it's not that you don't want to study. It's clearly that you want to do something else. Right. So like, instead of saying, I don't feel like studying. Why don't you say, I feel like watching TV? Because that's what the reality is. I also don't feel like riding a unicycle down the street.
You know what I mean? Like, if we're going to go into things I don't feel like doing, like, the laundry list is, like, it's literally everything except for the one thing I want to be doing.
Yeah.
Like,
I've heard people kick around ideas of how to, like, study when you don't
study. Yeah, but why force yourself? You're not in the mindset. Like, who cares? Like, just don't.
Yeah. Well, so a writer will sit down every day and write. Jerry Seinfeld's been doing comedy for 50 years. He still writes every day because he's a writer. Mm-hmm. He might not want to some days. So, you know. Writers write every day. It's what they do. If I'm going after certs, I should study every day. I don't.
Yeah, but I think there's...
It's a choice, right?
There's like, there's definitely like physical brain science saying that like you should let that information soak and then try to retrieve it again, you know, and not study every day.
I think you got to get hungry. I think you got to get hungry. I studied like my life depended on it when
your life
depended
on it.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And my life, like, I'm not going to lose my job if I don't get my MP. They're not going to fire me in 6 months if I don't learn automation or cloud. Yeah. I mean, probably in a couple years, but you know, the pain is on the horizon, and I don't have to right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not.
You're just delaying it, right? No, I mean, I get you.
Yeah.
If I, dude,
the iron's not hot right now. Huh?
I mean, I never had any reason to get anything. It never did. It, like, all it did was like intrinsic stuff for me. You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody should go out there and get a CCNA or a CCNP or both, because I know it'll do to you like inside, even if you don't need it for another reason, right? Like, you were doing it because your life depended on it. I had none of that. Like, I mean,
so why did you I was going to ask AJ the same reason. Why did you get your MP?
It's an even better question to say, why did you keep doing it after you failed it? You know, after it knocks you down once and you had no reason to be doing it in the first place, it's like,
but at that point, you're so into it and invested in it, you have to finish it, right? I mean, that's how I feel.
You know, I just didn't want to be the dude that didn't have it. You know what I mean? Like, I felt I knew what I was talking about, but like, I wanted to be able to prove that to people, you know, and myself, really. I don't know. Yeah, maybe AJ's story is a little different. I don't know.
How do you do it, AJ? I mean, you're very certed up as well. How do you study when you don't want to?
It's like tricking my mind, right? Like, sometimes people think about studying like they have to commit hours and hours and hours to studying. And for me, it was daunting to sit there and think about like, I don't really want to do this tonight, but I, you know, probably should or have to. And so it was just like, okay, well, I'll lab for 20 minutes, you know, just commit to like 20 minutes in my head. And then I start labbing. And before I know it, like an hour or two has gone by, 'cause I like really got into something and, you know, it was just kind of like a trick. Yeah.
And that works, right? You just reminded me, I do this meditation app, 10% Happier, and this guy, Dan Harris, who created it, he came up with this like 1 minute counts. Just sit down and do it for a minute. If that's all you do, it counts. Cool. Go on about your day. The Pomodoro technique with studying.
Yeah.
Give it 20 minutes.
Yeah, that works. That's
nice.
The
Pomodoro technique is commit to 20 minutes. I could study for 20 minutes every day if that was something I committed to. I mean, I can find 20 minutes.
Why don't you just do it?
Like you said, well, right, exactly. I mean, this might be my solution, but to your point, AJ, I have so much to learn that I'm just like, it's too much.
Oh,
I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I see what you mean. You know what you should do?
I got to learn automation. No. I got to learn Azure. I got to learn AWS. I need I need to learn Juniper. It's too much. So
I know.
But 20 minutes, I could definitely.
But you know why though? It's because this is a whole separate step in the process that probably most folks that are getting a CCNA are not doing. I'd just be willing to bet. And that's breaking down each piece and just attacking those pieces. And I'm not talking about sections, right? Like, it's okay to learn. People want to know what's on the test, you know, but it's okay to learn STP and MST when they're not teaching you MST. You know, like, it's okay. Like, know that those exist, but those don't show up in the Lamley book, you know, and oftentimes they do periodically, like in like OCGs and stuff. They'll be like, they'll mention it and they'll say, you don't need to know this, but just so you know, this is out here. But it's okay. Like, dig into some white papers, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, all of a sudden, you know, every LSA type for OSPF. And then you go to take your CCNA and you're like, what kind of softball questions are these? Right? Like, I don't know. I it's really just the way you know, you approach it, and then that little section that you learned, you just do it for that day, and then 3 days later, try to test yourself on it, you know? And then you're just, like, continuously playing this, like, little, like, leapfrog game where it's, like, you know, you learn something, and then you learn something, and then you're studying the thing you just learned, right? And just kind of keep going and just leapfrogs itself, so.
Whoever asked that question, I'm tomorrow going to use AJ's trick. and study for 20 minutes. I can commit to 20
minutes. Dude, don't even commit to 5. Watch what happens. Watch what happens.
But if I do that 3 days a week, that's an hour that I'm not studying anyway.
Dude, nailed it.
So like 20 minutes
tomorrow, it does snowball though. Like AJ was saying, like all of a sudden it's been like 2 hours, but it even so for like days on end, like you mentioned Seinfeld. I remember his thing was like, he was always writing it on a calendar and he didn't want to break the chain. Like he's like famous for saying that. Okay. So like I studied today. Right. And then he didn't want to see a blank spot. It would give him so much anxiety. So like, and it was writing for him. It was writing a joke. So he would write every day cause he didn't want to see the chain break. So.
And it makes you feel like you have control over your destiny. 100%. It's almost like losing weight.
It
like
does.
If you're overweight and you feel like crap, if you do the work every day, a little bit at a time and drop 10 pounds, you feel great. You're in control. Like, okay, I'm not a slave to this, you know, ice cream.
Yep.
Same with like studying. If I study 20 minutes a day, I'll feel so much better than I've been feeling about, you know,
and smarter.
Journey. Yeah.
Do you guys jump topics though?
Yes.
Like my problem is I'm very bad about, I got to start at the beginning and go all the way to the end. And when I hit a section that is either very boring to me or something like that, that's where I start dreading continuing. Cause I don't know, it's something in my brain that it's just like, I can't skip over it.
Dan, I stopped reading the Encore OCG when I got the Spanish.
Which is like chapter 2.
I read a chapter. No, it's chapter 4. I read a chapter a week for 4 weeks and I got the STP and I said, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's how much I loathe STP.
He went from listening, so he went from listening to discarding real quick.
No learning.
Yeah, I was.
No now learning. He's, yeah, from doing, learning to discarding.
Are you doing salad now? In salad?
My brain is air disabled, bro.
Shut, no shut. Andy.
You're going to.
Well, you gotta turn it off.
No, I jump around, but I jump around on purpose just to keep it fresh. There's a, you guys should read Make It Stick. It's a really good book, but.
So you don't think the books are written in order?
I don't care. That who made that order up? It's just there.
The people who wrote it. I know. If you read a novel out of order, it's not going to make any sense.
Yeah, but it's not a novel.
I understand. But don't you think they're writing it? Encore, for example, you don't think the order matters?
No.
For the CCNA? No. Probably doesn't.
No, and
it doesn't matter if I learned Spanning Tree before Ether Channel, right?
Like, feel like in the CCNA book, that's kind of each chapter started building off the previous chapter, did it not?
No. I mean, where they choose...
To an extent, I think.
Where they choose to tell you about Layer 2 stuff and Layer 3 stuff? I mean, shouldn't... In theory, then, let's just make sure that we all understand every type of cable and cabling type out there, and then we'll go into every sort of data link layer thing that we can possibly come up with, like MAC addresses and DELCs and all this other stuff. And then we'll see how switches communicate with each other with BPDUs and things like that, right? And then finally, when we hit CCIE, we'll talk about routing protocols because we finally made it. We'll get to BGP last because it's, you know, kind of like a layer 4-ish routing protocol.
Well,
so I guess writing a book different than making a video?
Absolutely.
Like I'm thinking you're like install EvenG on your server video. You can't install that before you
configure before your RAID.
Order is important, absolutely, but maybe not in technical manuals. Maybe it's different.
I look at it like you're not saying, so you just, they're all individual topics, right? They're not really a sum of their each other's parts. Like you could get away with learning. That's why they're specialties, right? You can get away with learning very niche stuff.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it from somebody who, you know, because there's a lot of people that get the CCNA that have never done anything with networking, and you can't just open it up and go straight into the routing, right? Like, I feel like you got to start off with
I went in order because that was my background, Dan. I knew nothing, and the material was written and taught in order.
Yeah.
As if someone didn't know anything. But to Aaron's point, if you had a little experience, you could probably jump around. It doesn't matter if you learn Spanning Tree before Ether Channel or Route before Switch. It's all... Well, it might depend on the learner too. Aaron, you know more about learning.
Let's put it this way: it's not that it's not that you wouldn't be able to, or that one makes more sense than the other, because either way works, right? It's almost like which one would be less of a resistance on you as a person, right? Like, oh, this makes more sense because I learned about that. But that's not to say that someone could just drop OSPF in your lap and say, "Figure this out." You could. You would have no idea how to plug anything into anything, like physically, right? But you would understand. Like someone could go and learn that. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So what was the question you asked, AJ? Because I think we went down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, we definitely did.
I think we beat that to death and then came up with a new question to answer.
I thought he asked us what we had for dinner and we just kind of started talking.
But we're asking questions?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. That was a good one.
All right. It's time to trigger Andy.
Oh God, here we go.
All right, here we go.
I'm good, man.
I know that you've already brought it up triggered. Several times, like, you know, throughout this podcast, and I feel like it's a sensitive subject.
Wait, can I guess what it is?
Yes.
What have I brought up?
Do you need a physical lab?
Yeah, labbing, physical or virtual?
Is that the question?
I think starting out physical.
Yeah, you don't need a physical lab. You don't need a virtual
packet
lab.
Tracer.
Packet tracer, GNS. I mean, I'm so adamant about a physical lab because of what it did.
I'm right there with you.
But
look, but it's not going to hurt, right? Like,
it's not going to hurt, but it does cost money and yada, yada, yada. So I get all that. But a physical lab for me, in my experience, see, I built a physical lab because I was working in an ISP NOC and all the people with like 20, 30, 40 years experience I was sitting with said, dude, you need a physical lab. They all had physical labs. They told me why. And that's what I did. Jeremy Char said, build a physical lab. Keith Barker said, build. Everybody was saying build a physical lab. So I did because I didn't know anything and I'm glad I did. You will learn more on a physical lab. People love to poo-poo it and say, what do I got to know about cables and pinouts and ports? And there's nothing to it.
You're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I got blog posts on it listing the 18 things that I learned on a physical that I would never learn.
Read the question again, AJ.
It's just labbing, physical versus, physical versus virtual.
I would say both because that's what I do.
It just says physical versus virtual.
I don't know why I would
say both.
I use both.
I mean, for me, and especially now, because you can connect, you can have a virtual lab talking to a physical lab. You know, when I do my Ansible demo, I have a virtual 100%. CSR 1000 that neighbors up EIGRP with my physical routers, and it's great.
Yep.
The question is flawed because it starts an argument. It's inherently inflammatory.
Right.
This or that when they're both
you need neither in reality.
And I never say, you know, physical only, virtual is poop. I use both.
Yeah.
But when I try to say, hey, physicals are great because of XYZ, this is what I learned. That's when people jump down my throat and like, dude, you're an idiot. You know, physicals are garbage. What year is this? Like, how old are you? Like, dude.
So
physical labs are amazing.
It's like they knew or something.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, I'm an old guy because I got a physical lab. Every CCIE that teaches this stuff says build a physical lab. Like,
If you're starting out and you only have so much money, right, then I would say go physical lab. And then once you get your CCNA, once you get a bigger job, more money, then you can invest in the virtual lab. Because
you can build a physical lab for less than $100. If you don't have $100.
Plus, you can find places that are like retiring gear. Like I got like 3 or 4 routers and switches like completely free because I was talking to the right people that were getting rid of some gear.
Totally.
Yeah. And one thing to add to that too is like if you're starting out and let's say you go all virtual and you get to a job interview and they ask you, have you ever done this on a real device or anything like that? You're going to have to say no.
Well, what if they ask you on the job, have you ever used DNS3? Because that's what we do here to test out our new stuff. What if they ask you that?
You should know both.
See what I mean, though? So, like, you're 100% always going to have a gap where you've never done something. That's absolutely true. But what I would say to the question is physical versus virtual is neither. You don't need either. I can promise you this, that you could get a CCIE without a lab. I promise you. No question. Is it easier to do it with a lab? Sure. It's already not easy.
Okay. The guys who practice for the 8-hour lab for 8 hours at a time to build up muscle memory. I mean, you need a lab.
No.
Well, you know what? A guy who I knew took the CCIE said he used to do it in a notepad. So you don't need a lab, actually. You could just do commands in a notepad, really.
Yeah. Because that's what they all do anyway. They copy-paste the configs because they're all duplicates. Like, it's not a typing exercise.
Do you want an airline pilot who's new, who's never been in a sim? You know what I mean? What did Jeremy Char say? Do you want a surgeon who watched a bunch of videos and never performed a surgery? No. Build a lab. Get experience. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just
what
freaking do it.
Right.
Get a lab. You could build a lab for $75. Two crappy routers.
And what I'm saying is that
you could go into a medical doctor test without ever cutting open a cadaver. That's what I'm saying.
No, you
absolutely
can't.
Could.
That's not how medical school
absolutely
works.
Absolutely could.
No. You cannot.
Has anybody done it before? I'm sure. I'm sure they have.
All right. So
the answer is neither.
There's some answers. I think both.
Yeah.
Packet tracer's free. GNS is three. If you're in an interview and you haven't touched GNS, you have not prepared and you should not be there. So if somebody asked that question Aaron said and you've never touched GNS, you should be ashamed of yourself. If you haven't touched physical because you can't afford it, that's a different story. But if you haven't fired up a free program,
like if it's $100, like we all know, if the person only has $100,
shaming people,
like
it's free.
Right, it's free. If you only had $100, like I think clearly the way to go is the OCG. It's going to give you a book. It's going to give you all the practice tests. It's going to give you all the flashcards, all that stuff. But
we're talking about labs.
If you only had an herb, right? But if you had $100 for a lab, I would buy EVNG Pro. Whoop whoop.
Well, what's your answer, AJ? Whoop, whoop. I
think there's like there's definitely a use case for both. I would start with physical and then add virtual after that. Because no matter what platform you look at, whether it's CML, GNS, and even EVNG, a lot of those platforms have a very hard time duplicating what the Cisco ASICs can do in their switching platforms. And you can get really close.
You can do everything.
But you're not going to get as close to working with a Cisco switch as, you know, actually working with a Cisco switch.
Yeah. Everything you can do in a physical lab, you can do in GNS. The converse is not true. You cannot create a switching. You cannot create a switching loop in GNS.
But
you need two switches.
It's also harder to have, 20 routers.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely some economies of scale that you'll see with virtualization. So, like I could drop $200.
Sure,
bucks
I do agree
gear,
with your the limitations.
I'm only going to get so many routers, but if I drop $200 on a decent server and get GNS 3 or EVNG or something like that, I can have a lot more routers in my topology.
But I still agree. I think everybody should have a physical lab at some point, and then if they decide they want to go virtual,
But just because you're going virtual doesn't mean you need to ditch the physical. It shouldn't be this or that.
Use both of them.
It should be
I think it's a money decision, right? If you have money for physical, you get physical. If you don't, you go free GNS and you're done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, next question.
Hey, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't triggered.
Yeah.
All right.
They poo-poo on my lab. Wait a minute. What if you're running your virtual lab on your physical lab? Because that's what I do.
Running your virtual lab on your physical lab. Like on your server?
Yeah. Even?
Well, I think we're talking about physical routers.
All virtual labs run on a physical.
Yeah, there's a...
Everything needs a physical underlay, Aaron. What's going on there? Did you have a stroke?
Next question.
Got to run on something.
Next question.
All right. How do you defeat self-doubt? I think we're touching imposter syndrome.
You don't. You don't. God. You don't. Yeah. You don't. Stop telling yourself that you can. You don't.
A lot of therapy. Yeah.
Right. How much time you got? A lot of uncomfortable couches. No, you don't. Just use it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you reframe.
You know, it's not going anywhere. Just use it.
So imposter syndrome will get the best of anybody. And when you stop worrying about people are going to, figure out you're not who you say you are, or you're feeling uncomfortable because you're diving into a new subject. Think about it as it's growth. It's about growth. You're exploring something new. Get excited about that. And just change your frame of mind around it.
I mean, doubting something you don't know or you've never done before is just like an evolutionary behavior. Totally. Like it's something that's helping your survivability. So like if you think it's going away, you don't want it to. People without self-doubt are like the people that walk around the streets and don't mind getting in fistfights with just anybody like on a random occasion for no reason. You know what I mean? Because they're just like, I don't care.
I know.
You don't
want to
be like that. You want self-doubt you want a healthy amount of self-doubt, right? It's going to prevent you from doing something stupid, but it shouldn't be crippling you, right? I mean, there's an element of like mental health here that, if you do have a crippling amount of that, I would suggest seeking a professional for sure. Like there's no shame in that.
AJ, absolutely. You said reframing, so I got an answer. So I'll relate it to like my personal life. So I've been told by a number of people I'm a great dad. My wife, my, you know, people I don't even know, like, wow, you're such a great dad. Like, but 50% of the time I doubt myself and I'm not sure if I'm a great dad, right? I don't know where it comes from, but what I've learned, and you said reframe, that's actually cognitive behavioral therapy trick you do, is it's based on a core belief, something you think about, like Aaron said, like instinctive stuff. But if you're doubting yourself, you want to reframe it. And the way I've been taught to reframe it is you look for proof. So, okay, I believe I'm not a good dad sometimes. Am I not a good dad? And then you look for proof on, well, am I a good dad or not? Is there any proof that, so if you're doubting that imposter syndrome for, I mean, this is like just straight up therapy stuff. Right. Like I didn't make it up.
No, but it's
if
smart.
You're doubting yourself that you don't belong and imposter syndrome and all that stuff, look for proof. My VP did it when I talked to him not too long ago. And I'm like, I don't know if I belong here. You guys are geniuses. I'm clueless. You gave me a new job. I don't know how to do it. And he's like, dude, I handpicked you. I want you here. I know who you are. Your reputation preceded you. You belong here. But I had self-doubt and I needed that. I needed to see proof. He showed me all the proof of, he's like, I talked to a half a dozen people before I brought you over to my team. And each one of them said da 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 about you. And that's what I want out of, you know, my guys.
Why is it we need so much? Like that's crazy. You said that. Like, why is it we need so much? Like so many chips stacked in one direction to be like, I'm great at this, right? Like you have to have this and this and this, this to feel great about something. But like you could have absolutely no proof and be like, I suck. You know what I mean? I like it's the extreme.
I think a lot of it has to do with you're in a vacuum. You're not getting the feedback loop. And especially when you're studying by yourself, there's nobody there to tell you you're doing a good job. You know, right. There's nobody to confirm for you. Like you understand what you're talking about.
That's what the Ditkas are for.
Does anybody on this panel not have that? Like, I could even go deeper and say, like, is it my parents' fault? You know what I mean? Like, so it's all the voice in our heads, 100%. Right? Like, we all have a voice talking to us in our heads. I haven't met them yet, but I imagine there's people out there that have a nice, you know, reaffirming
I'm good.
Voice
that's
in
I
their
am.
Head. Right. So
I don't know
that
why.
Must be wonderful. He has no doubt. He's good. His parents did something.
No, it's
right.
Not that at all. Know. It's not. I just don't have an amount of self-doubt to speak of, you know, to like even throw out there, you know, like
you've never felt like an imposter in your career?
Never.
Okay.
Actually quite the opposite, which is probably a problem too. Actually, that's probably more of a problem than, but seriously, like
how can you be confident if you don't have enough skill to be confident in something? Like when you started as a sales engineer, you weren't the best sales engineer.
No, I was not. I'm still not.
And you were never like, oh man, like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. This looks hard. No.
I just did it. I don't know, dude. You just.
No, it's awesome. Like you might have the secret.
Well, the 9 times out of 10, like AJ just said it, right? Kind of. It's like a moth to a light, right? You just, or to a candle. It's like, hey, that thing looks uncomfortable. Let me just drift over there and see what I can get into. Cause every time I've been in like a, oh my God moment, like, uh-oh, what's going to happen now? You know, life gets ripped out from underneath you and you're like, now what? Like for some reason I've always just been like, I mean, this is what it is, right? Like, what are you going to do? Right. You have two choices of how you're going to think of stuff, which is what you just said, right? You just told us that, like, you can either think that you're really good at it or really bad. I mean, like, I guess you could think you're neutral at something, but I don't really know how that's possible. Like, I'm just neutral at everything.
Well, there's another trick. You can only have one thought at a time. It's like science has proven it.
Right.
So you can either decide to think positively
that's
or
what
negatively.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. If you're full of doubt or you're full of imposter syndrome, you're just having negative thoughts.
You're also...
There's another hack. Like, replace that with a positive
It's like
thought.
You with the dad thing.
Change your state of mind.
You know, you don't do like daily check-ins with your kids and your wife, like what did I do today to make sure I was a good dad? You know what I mean? Like you don't do that because it's ridiculous. But just as much as like, let's say no one ever said that you were a good dad. Same time, no one's ever told you that you were a bad dad. You've never heard that. So what are you going to think then?
Why would you assume?
Right.
Why would you assume that?
Yeah. Like you just said, you have a choice. Just pick the other one. Like it's really simple to just, I'm making it sound simple because it is. You could just choose to say it out loud. Like there's something to like self-affirmations too. Like I was heard of guys like in the morning, like stories of guys that had roommates that
like their roommate was some crazy badass entrepreneur dude. And he'd be like, I could hear him every morning in the shower. And he's like, I am a badass. I am rich. I am like, he wasn't rich, right? But he was just saying it. Yeah. And like, you know, you just start to believe it after a while. So who knows? Say it out loud. Make yourself hear it.
Speak it into existence.
Right? Pretty soon you're going to be lying to yourself so much that it's going to happen. You're going to be like, whoa, that was crazy. Because you could, the other alternative is you lie to yourself the opposite direction, and then you end up, you know, God forbid, like sleeping under a bridge or something, you know?
Have you ever heard this one? What you think you become?
Because it's true. I mean,
it's straight up true.
Just like we were talking about the you know, being a surgeon or whatever, and, you know, like not you could get a CCIE without ever having to lab, right? Basically, my point is, like, literally everything's possible. Same thing with they put a freaking dude who's walking on the moon. Like, what is the point of that? Like, but here we are doing it, right? And they did it like we barely had color TV. Like, they had no right doing that, right? And here we are 60 years later. Like, you know how much has happened in the past 60 years? Like, it's unfathomable to keep up with all that crap. Like, there's just so much stuff. Like, there's stuff out there you're good at anyway, whether you think you're not or not.
So what does Dan and Aaron do with self-doubt or imposter syndrome? Because Aaron doesn't have it. I have a couple of tricks. Do you guys ever have self-doubt or imposter syndrome?
Yeah, so for me, I mean, just being completely open and honest here. So I started in IT back when I was around 22 or so, and I'm 30 now. And when I first got out of college, I was real heavy on the studying for the CCNA. And I kept putting this test up on a pedestal. And I was like, I'm never going to get it because there's all these other people out there that are so much smarter than me and I didn't have this community either. So I think if you are struggling with this, like I did, I think getting a community is very helpful because you can find people like you guys for me who push me, you know, nonstop every week. To get out of your comfort zone, to take that exam off the pedestal. Because at the end of the day, it's just an exam, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it crushed me for years because I was just kind of doing the job. I wasn't really trying to learn or go for the certs anymore because I felt like an imposter at even where I worked at, you know?
Mm.
And especially like if I went to any like seminars or anything like that, Cisco, what are they called? Connect or whatever. Stuff like that. You're around these other brilliant people and it's like, what am I doing here? But
do you ever think that they think the same about you?
You know, it's crossed my mind a few times, but
like they don't know you, just like you don't know them, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's safe to assume that if you're gonna judge someone, just judge them to be stupid. Right? Like,
yeah.
Maybe that's what I do, Andy.
You just assume everybody's dumb.
Just assumes he's
not being smart. I just assume
until proven otherwise.
So what, Dan? Well, let me ask you this: if there was so like putting the CCNA on. Actually, I'll ask everybody this: putting the CCNA on the pedestal made me think of something. If there was a test past the CCIE, CCIE is still what it is today. If there was one past the CCIE, do you think that we would think of it like we do? Nothing changes about the CCIE whatsoever. But now there's a test past that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I think it would change our perception.
I don't know.
I think isn't there a test? It's not a test. CCIE?
It's like a board. There's a whole bunch of stuff to it.
You just got
to
pay a bunch of
money. And it's like the listed. So it's the Cisco Architect Arch exam.
Yeah.
And it has a ridiculous entry fee to even be considered to apply. And if you don't get approved, you don't get your money back.
Okay.
So it's like you can't even put that on the pedestal because it's not even.
Yeah, nobody knows what that is. So, but you get my point.
Aaron, to your point, if they made one higher than the CCIE, then the CCIE would be more attainable.
Even if nothing changed about the CCIE blueprint, the hardness of it whatsoever.
Yeah.
The
perception of it, right?
Yeah.
It'd probably be, oh, it's not the hardest
one. Isn't that weird? Yeah. So imagine this. Now, you're in Dan's position, and like the CCNA is the only test that exists, right? Because there's a lot of stuff out there that's like that. There's like one test for it, right? And then there you are, you have it. I mean, if it was just one test, would it make it even like more intimate? Like how many less people would have it? Or if CCMP was the top?
I, I love the answer of the community, because I didn't have one either, Dan, when I was starting, and now what I have, like, with you guys and with the Discord community and, like, Twitter and all that good stuff.
Like, yeah, like, I really wish this would have been around when I was getting my CCMP, you know what I mean? Like, it was, man, kind of.
People are pulling for you. They pump you up.
I know.
Like, Eugene hit me up this morning, like, hey, man, what's going on? Let's get it. Like, that really fills me up with, like, some juice that I didn't have, you know?
Yeah, but hearing other people and hearing that they're struggling with this, I didn't hear that. And so I thought I was alone in that sense, right? You know, like, why is this so difficult for me or whatever? And
then you meet this community and everybody's like, oh, yeah, imposter syndrome.
Oh,
like, you figure, like, do. Everybody but Aaron has it, right?
Except for I want to be clear. Like, I don't think that, you know, my you-know-what doesn't stink, but, like, I know that I could choose either or, and so I make the decision, like, consciously. Like, I get nervous when I go to tests, you know, because I fail them half the time anyway. So, like, why wouldn't I be nervous? That would be stupid. It would be so stupid for me not to be nervous given the amount of times that I failed it. Like, who do you think you are, dude? But that's the other thing too. It's like there's an element of that too, like with AJ and you and myself especially, like I wonder how many failures we have just, like, across the board. Like, for us to just keep, you know, getting hit like that and to keep coming back, like, that is how you eliminate self-doubt, right? Just freaking do it. Like, don't take no for an answer, man.
So AJ, you said reframing. I mean, is that what you do when you, how do you do that if you feel like self-doubt or
when it comes to imposter syndrome, I try to reframe it. Like, I don't always pull it off. I'm working on a project right now and I'm trying to learn NSO. I'm having a difficulty with NSO in that I'm doing training and I'm following the documentation and it still doesn't work. And
I don't even know what it is. What's
NSO? NSO is Network Services Orchestration. So it was an application Cisco picked up a few years ago called TailF, and it's focused at orchestration of large service provider focused networks. But now everybody's doing automation, so it can be literally any network. And so I have to learn it for this project I'm working on. It's good stuff. It's just, you know, now after beating my head against the desk for the last week or two, it, like, come to find out, like, the installer is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's not declaring variables in the operating system to allow me to finish the install process. And that's not my fault. That's not a hurdle of me not understanding it. It's just the software is not working as designed. You know, I'm sitting over here, like, beating myself up because I'm working on a team of three guys. And every time we meet every week, those two guys come to the table. I'm like, oh, well, here's what I finished this week. And here's my nice shiny thing that I completed what I set out to do. And it's just like, yeah, I'm still stuck.
So how do you reframe that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I haven't been able to reframe that, you know, like, I understand I'm trying to learn, but I've literally just been beating my head against the desk, and finally me and another guy, we looked at it because they've had success. You know, so we start digging into what's going on in my environment, and these variables aren't being declared during the installation, and I'm not doing anything differently than these guys are doing. And the only difference that we can see at this point is that the version of software that I have is a couple of revs newer than the version that those guys are using.
I hope this isn't you asking us for help, because we're like, what?
Yeah. No.
I didn't even know the acronym.
Yeah, me neither. I'm glad you asked. I was like, huh? I was just going to let it go. I was like,
Well, AJ, the real deal reframe would be that look at all the proof of everything you have learned up
progress,
to this point and
right.
all the search you
progress,
have.
Progress,
You can learn new things. This has given you a hard time, and you will learn this just like you learned everything else of all your other certs. I mean, that would be a reframe of, like, all right, I can do this. I've done it before.
Right.
This is just
exactly
different, you know, to get you out of that doubt.
Exactly. So the next question is, how do you know when you're ready? You're studying for all this time.
Ready.
How do you know when you're ready to take the exam?
I never know when I'm ready.
I would agree with that. I don't know.
For me, it was when I started passing the practice exam over. I'm trying to think, because I took the CBT nuggets. I think, is it Kaplan that they have?
I think so.
Tests or prep exams or whatever.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Something like that.
You have to pass the practice test.
Yeah, I was passing the practice test with, like, I can't remember, it was like over 850 or something like that, or 800, or and they said you would be ready if you're doing that, and I was, so I went and took it, and that, and I got a 919 on the ICND1.
Nice.
So
yeah,
dog.
So the question, can you read the question again? I want to make sure that I know exactly
how
what it
do
says.
You know when you're ready.
It turns green.
To sit for an exam.
It turns green.
It turns green. What turns green?
That's how you know it's ready.
Oh.
That's how you know you're ripe. You know what I mean?
Dan, I have not had the same experience that you've had, because when I was studying for my CCNA, I would take practice exams and I would pass and pass and pass. And then I'd go sit the real exam and I'd fail.
I hate this question. There's no answer to this question. There's
my T-shirt exam. I was taking, I used Boson for the first time on my life. Loved it. Love it. Will continue to use it. But I was passing the Boson T-shirt exams, practice exam, and I failed T-shirt 3 times. So the barometer is supposed to be when you're passing those, you're
those
ready.
Those are hard for sure.
I got you. I never know when I'm ready. And even when I'm sitting, I don't know until I hit that damn button at the end. Like, there's times I felt like I nailed it and didn't.
Yeah.
And there's times I felt like I fell on my face and I passed. So I can
I'm right there with you.
That's the problem.
It's like
the,
Jedi
the number
mind.
Of times no I've gone to an exam and got to the end, and I'm like, yeah, I passed this. And then I hit next and it's like, sorry.
Well, what did Carl say? I thought Carl had a good, like, with the test from home, like, he doesn't schedule ahead of time. He doesn't stress it. He gets the feel, like, he'll get a feeling. Maybe it's just a feeling. Like, you know what? I think I can go take this.
I like
thing.
That. Like, I don't think, like, remember when we were talking about you putting videos on YouTube and stuff, and like even like your website, and it was like, well, I'm kind of a perfectionist. I kind of want things to be look good when I get out there. And it's
best foot forward. Like, that's what it's about. Right.
Like, cart before the horse, you know, you don't want to get out of order. Is actually the same question. It's like, all right, do you read the book in order? You know, it's like things have a process.
But it's analysis paralysis. You'll never sit for that exam. You'll never publish your website. It's never perfect.
I think that was my biggest problem, Andy, is that I didn't feel like I was ready, so I wouldn't take it. And then I waited too long on the ICND-2, and then the new one came out. And then, so now my ICND-1's, you know, doo-doo.
doo-doo?
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
or poo-poo. Sorry, you were saying poo-poo earlier.
I think it's got to be an internal kind of feeling.
I don't think, like, there's an answer.
Nobody
personally
can tell you. I
don't think, like, because like you just said, you could think you were ready, and then you could also think you were not and do well. But the answer is this: I could tell you when you're ready, when you think you're ready, and when you are ready are two completely different things. When you're ready to go sit for the test and legitimately pass, like, you could pass by guessing. Everyone knows that. You could actually guess on every single question and pass. That is statistically possible, okay? But that doesn't mean you learn anything, right? So to make it easier on yourself, the best way to do it is to take every subject and teach it back to either someone else or yourself. Because that's how you will know that you know the stuff.
Right.
It's then when you are ready. Right. It's not, do I think I'm ready? Am I not ready? It doesn't matter what you think. You either are or you're not, right? You either know the stuff or
what
you
do
don't.
They say, like, if you can explain it to a whatever
like a 5-year-old,
year old,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
is that what it is?
Which I, you know, I agree to an extent. Like, technical,
I mean, it's
technical
not,
stuff's
right.
a little
technical
bit different, right?
A little different. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Basically, like what AJ does. Like, if you could teach a high school class or you could teach a college class, like, even the most basic fundamentals of this stuff. Like, think subnetting. Like, how hard was subnetting? It was so hard, and like I could not get it. I almost gave up so many times. I just did not make any sense. People talking about cutting pies into pieces and all this other crap. I'm like, what? And like, none of it made any sense to me. Like, there was only like a few words that would have made sense to me that somebody could have just said in like a half a sentence and I would have got it right away. But that's the thing. It's like all of that hard, like, work that I did to finally get it. And we all did the same thing, right? And once you finally get it, like, use that opportunity to then go back and reframe it and make it make sense to you, because it's going to be easier on you in certain ways, or it's going to be harder. It'll all get in there eventually. There's just easier paths and harder paths. And oddly enough, the easiest path, the most efficient path, is the hardest path. Because if it's easy, you aren't doing anything.
Right.
Stop highlighting.
Right. I don't highlight anymore.
Throw those highlighters away.
Aaron embarrassed me away from highlighting. I don't do it anymore.
All right. I think we're going to do the last question. that we've got time for.
Yeah, hit us with a good one here.
I'm excited
the
to
grand
hear,
finale.
I'm excited to hear from Aaron on this one. So let's
oh, God.
Talk.
Don't trigger me now.
Study strategies. You just brought up throw away the highlighter. So what are some study strategies?
There's only one.
Let's hear it.
Let's just say that there's two steps, but only one like learning process. The first step is organizing yourself. So kind of alluded to it earlier with Andy and how he was, and the question about like bouncing around, same with Dan, like, do you go through this? Do you do this, whatever? No, there needs to be a strategy, right? So if you have a certain amount of things to learn, which you do, and it's great because Cisco, if we're talking about them specifically, actually every real certification for any IT related thing has a blueprint, right? The subjects are all there. You could do just a simple thing as Googling those subjects, right? My point here is that you have to have an attack plan. Okay. So then the next question is, what is the attack plan? Keep in mind that none of this is learning. All of this is planning, right? So if you don't plan up front and you just start diving in, like, yeah, you're going to get lost in the sauce because you never had a direction. You never had a signpost. So if you don't lay this out ahead of time, you're setting yourself up. So if you want to, you could do this on a time-based schedule, which I don't necessarily recommend, but you could totally do it. I do recommend doing something often. However, I don't recommend like saying that you have to have something done by Friday unless you're that type of person. So if you're that type of person, then put it to a schedule, right? Take each chunk and it could be as easy as this. Like there's, you know, four categories, let's say. Within each category, there's three subtopics. Each subtopic has three topics attached to it. So I would take that subtopic. It's got three little things in it. Like, let's say, like we always beat up, like, let's say it's STP, RSTP, and PVST. Those are the three little subtopics. It must know, have working knowledge of all three of these, right? I'm going to take those three. They're all kind of similar. And I'm spending the week learning everything I can about those things. And then I'm going to test myself. Okay. And then where the learning actually is in the guts of this, right? So that's all just a planning stage. So what am I going to do and when am I going to do it? And how will I know when I'm completed with that? We've answered all of that in this podcast, right? How do I know where I'm going? Easy. Get a signpost, right? How do I use my time more efficiently? That's part of like scheduling and actually getting stuff done. And then the next part is actually getting to the meat of it and learning. So like, what does the process of learning look like? And it's as simple as you have to test yourself as much as you can. So I see flashcards all the time for stuff that you have to remember, like Brittany, she brought up, right? Like, what are the stages of spanning tree? And all of us were like, ah, we pieced it together eventually, but like, it's stuff like that you typically put on a flashcard, right? Like, I got to remember all of these. So how am I going to do it? Maybe you make like a mnemonic out of it or, you know, an acronym or whatever it is. But what you should be doing is taking those subtopics that you had. And in my example, it was MST, RSTP, and let's say traditional Spanish, just STP, right? All right. The things you should do to learn all three of those together. First of all, find some tests that have those questions in them. A great place to find those, end of the chapter quizzes or the Ditkas. Both of those things exist in an OCG for every chapter. Okay. So find those chapters, do all of those tests. And yes, you heard it right. Do those tests before you read the subject. There's science behind this. You're more likely to learn something if you test yourself on something you have no idea about, and then you go and try to learn what you just tested yourself on. So there's evidence saying that is going to help you, right?
Is it because you know what you're like, once you read it, you're like, oh, that's what that question was.
Yeah,
that,
you're like, that wait, kinda... that makes sense because the way they asked it and da da da. However, that connection happens, I'm unclear about that. So I can't really speak to that.
So test yourself and then read the chapter.
Test yourself at the Ditkas and the if your eyes are glossing over, like, just take a second and read the question. Like, there's things in there. It's okay. So I'll just make up an example question on the spot. Okay. What are the, or which one of these OSPF LSA types is a router advertisement, let's say, right? And it gives you 1, 3, 5, 7. Okay. And I have no idea what the heck OSPF is, right? So I look at those and I go, okay, well, there's clearly a 1, a 3, and a 5, and a 7. Maybe. I don't know. Looks like they at least numbered them, right? okay, what is an LSA? I don't know what that is. What is OSPF? I don't know what that is. So then now I'm going into the OSPF section. Okay, I've gotten past that part. OSPF, I get that. I get what it's called. I get what the acronym is. Oh, link state advertisement. That's what that is. Okay, so clearly there's a bunch of these. Why is there a bunch of these? Right? Like, and it's okay to go back to those questions and be like, aha. And even if you took those questions and that's how you learned, like, let's say you just went question by question and then just Googled the answer and found it. And then went into a rabbit hole, like, wait, then why? So then why couldn't it be this? Right? Because just important as to why it's something is why it couldn't be something else. And another piece of advice, every bit of the technology that we deal with is like, is a result of an efficiency or something breaking. You know what I mean? So it's basically, you could just think in your head for everything that you learn, like, why does this exist? What problem did it solve? And we're engineers. So that helps us, you know, like put pieces together. So when you're going through these subjects and you're reading all these things, you should be making flashcards for yourself. The flashcards should be very difficult. And I cannot stress that enough. Maybe sometime I'll give you an example of a flashcard that I've made for myself. Because it's something like, define Lisp. You know, it doesn't say like, you know, what's a router ID, you know, or, you know, what's an IP, or what could an IP address that Lisp used look like or something? You know what I mean? I'm
paying very close attention here because I need this. So just to crystallize what you're saying, planning, which is basically the blueprint, yep, as an example, yep, then test yourself, make it difficult, yep, end a chapter, test into Dicka's. And then do you read again? Like, do you test, read, test? Then you're going to test at the end with like XM or something.
I just keep
like that,
testing. Like, and the flashcards, okay, are a test, right? The, yeah, harder my flashcards are, the better it is.
You're looking at your flashcards every day, maybe.
Yeah. And that's so easy to do. Because if you use something like Anki, especially,
yeah,
when you start Anki to learn them, they use the same methods I'm talking about. I have to sign in. So that probably won't happen. But
I know.
So yeah, so you have to. So Anki's cool because it's spray. So it's ANKI. There's an app. There's a web desktop, mm-hmm, version as well that you could type into. It's super easy. This is what I
think. It's free, right?
What's that? And it's free. Yeah. It's
free. Yeah, so, and you can actually type in on your desktop what you want and then load the deck into your, yep, your app. So
it's study wherever. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, it'll sync.
So is it? Do you use something like that for digital, or do you write out physical flashcards?
No, I don't care about writing. Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
No. Yeah, so
there's nothing to be said about writing it.
No, there is, but here's why that's a tricky statement. Is writing something more likely to make you remember it than typing it out? Absolutely. But I'm not using typing or writing to remember anything. I'm using a flashcard to remember it. I just want, yeah, it. Gotcha. And quite honestly, Andy,
it doesn't matter,
9 times out of 10,
it,
yeah, I copy paste from a white paper and just shove it into the note card. As, yeah, much, okay, crap as I could possibly come up with to stick in there. Like when you, okay, so I'll give you an example of a card that I had, like, in for CCNP route. Why would I use OSPF over EIGRP?
No idea.
Right. But there's reasons why I would, and the reasons why I would.
Well, EIGRP is Cisco proprietary, maybe.
Okay.
So if you,
okay,
want,
so,
the,
so,
open,
okay,
one,
so is that,
I mean,
a,
that's the only,
is,
answer
that a,
I got.
Is that a question that they would ask you on an exam? No, I mean, but to be fair, so like, yeah, so which one of these would you use if the environment was, you know, like mixed vendor and they're trying to trick you, right? You know what I mean? Like, they do stuff like that, but I know that because in my cards are things like that. And if I learn something, I add it to the card, right? To eventually you get to the point where you're like basically giving yourself a lesson about everything. And then when you see questions, like, I'll do this, I'll go back into Boson and I'm reading the question and holding my hand over all of the answers. I don't want to know what the answers they're giving me are. I need to spout the answer off.
See if you can pull it out of your,
exactly,
head.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't give up.
I'm thinking what's nice about the flashcards too, if you're going to waste 5 minutes of your life, maybe flipping through Instagram,
Yep.
Hook through your flash cards.
My biggest life hack on the planet.
Yes.
You have a choice, especially like let's say you're sitting there at doctor's office.
So much wasted time on nonsense.
Just
like,
nonsense.
You can just be looking at flash cards.
If you move that to your home page, like the front page, right? It's right there. You could do whatever, like anytime you had the urge to do that. Remember, we're talking about decision points. You just pull that up. Takes 2 seconds. I do it because it's on my desktop. First thing in the morning, before I even open my email client for work, I do the card. I don't even remember doing them now because I do them so automatically.
And this is Anki.
Yeah. Anki? I use the desktop version and the flip for version, and they sync to each other. So cool. I have I don't have that many cards, right? Like I don't have a full deck. Also, I would never get someone else's deck. That's pointless. Like people are always like, yo, let me get that deck or whatever. It's like, or let me get some of the questions. Like
for CCNA, I had like a stack.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many. I mean, it was huge. But
it was
always, that's all I did during the day.
It's always like the stuff that you have to learn. Like, you know, like what's the multicast address for a BDR, right? Like, okay, like I need a card for that. Cause it's like one number and you got to remember the number. You know what I mean? Like that's all like just like trivia type stuff, but there's a reason why that exists, right? Like, so it's better to
reading repetition is key, I guess, right? That's what flashcards are.
No,
you're just reading stuff over and over again.
So that's why someone would pick up a book and reread it, right? It'd be the same thing. That's actually the easiest thing you can do and the worst thing you can do. Rereading something.
So how's a flashcard different? Because you're trying to pull up the answer before you look.
You have to use a flashcard correctly. You have.
Yeah.
I don't care if it takes you 10 minutes to think of the answer. And like you're just like,
don't look.
Do not look.
Pull the answer
you're
up
only,
on your own.
Like, it, just think about this. The longer it takes you to answer.
Don't you turn it around.
Don't do it. It's so easy to. And you're like, oh, I knew that. No, you didn't. Because you would have said that. Stop tricking yourself.
It's the struggle, I guess.
It's
trying
the
to
struggle
pull it up,
because
right?
the struggle creates a stronger bond, right? It creates that memory, and it's like a firmer thing. Like so the longer
is it,
something
is it same like, as building, like you know we all you learn from your mistakes kind of thing. Like
sort
when
of.
I when
well,
you mess something
hurts,
up
yes.
is when you fail. Like you know
you don't,
that's when.
But you don't though. The thing is, you learn when something like traumatic happens, whether that's like but that's like an instinctive thing, and that could be good or bad. Like you want the reward just as much as you don't want to get punished for something, you know what I mean? So your brain will always trick you that.
So do you read the flashcard, and if you get it wrong you like punch yourself in the face or something? And
no,
then
you get somebody else to punch you. That would be stupid because you're not gonna be that hard on yourself.
But like Aaron,
it's
you're
a new,
building
it's a
neural
new meaning
pathways
for study,
right?
You're building roads,
you're building roads in your brain, neural pathways, and you're not going to do it by reading the answers over and over again. You gotta try to pull
that's
it
the biggest
out of
that's the biggest thing is like because it's so time consuming and eventually, and again this is kind of like what I was saying with the CCIE, you get it without doing a lab, right? Is it hard as hell? Yeah. Like would anybody ever do that in the right mind? No. There's all these tools for them, right? Like why hinder yourself? But what I mean is like the harder you make something for you, the more rewards you're going to get. And AJ and I talked about this before. It's just your brain is a muscle. It's literally just like going to the gym. Why would you go to the gym and lift 1 pound weights for 3 hours straight? Nothing is going to happen, right? But you know what happens though? You go home and you tell everybody, you know, oh yeah, bro, I spend like 3 hours a day at the gym. So, you know, I'm at the gym all day, every day. And they look at me and they're like, you are at the gym all day, every day. I'm like, yeah, I'm in the gym. I'm not doing anything. Well, I am though. I'm busy. I'm actually lifting weights. So you can't say either of those things. Now, I'm pretty sure we can all say that, Aaron, that's not a very effective use of your time. And I would say, it's way too easy. So wouldn't you rather spend 10 minutes maxing something and then just bounce out of the gym, you know, as an extreme example? And then guess what? That did more for you than lifting a 1 pound weight for 3 hours straight, right? So the point is that whether you have a lot of time or you don't, everyone is going to say that they don't have enough time. It's just that's just how we work, all right? But we're all lying. We can wake up an hour.
When are you going to create this content and release it on YouTube?
I feel like I'm
YouTube
just doing it organically through all this. If you tune into enough Art of Network Engineering episodes,
I mean, I get a lot out of this, though. So,
yeah,
you know,
no,
you keep,
just
you
try
keep,
it.
You keep
but the
coming.
Thing
that
is, like,
concept made a lot
like
of sense to me, though. The you know, don't
go
to the gym.
Dude, I wrote that everything you said.
Don't go to
I'm
the gym
make
for 1 pound
it.
For 3 hours. You know, that makes sense. So
yeah, it's a muscle.
Try that.
I mean,
a little bit more.
It quite
because my
is
problem
muscle.
Is it's like if you got a deck of 200 flashcards, it's like, my gosh, I got to go through all these. But what you're kind of saying is like, hey, maybe focus this week on just OSPF flashcards and breaking that down. Like one day, go through all your LSAs and what are each one or something. But don't worry about That's all the rest question. Of them kind of thing.
Should they be grouped by topic or should it be random? Does it matter?
So here's what's interesting about
should
that.
Should all your STP be, you know, back to back?
Yeah, there's science that says that you should be interleaving. So they say the two strongest ways to form the skill or the memory are to interleave, practice, they call it interleaving, which means mixing subjects around. And the dedicated practice, which is like, or they call it a purposeful practice or basically like testing yourself, right? The interleaving is important because I think one of the studies they did, this is an example, like they had a bunch of like 5-year-old kids and they gave kids like a ball and they had like a trash can. And the challenge was going to be that they gave these kids like as many times as they wanted to practice throwing the ball in there 4 feet away. So the end test was going to be throwing the ball in at 4 feet. So they got a controlled group of kids and they all threw from 4 feet and practiced and practiced and practiced for what was that? They also got kids and had them throw from 1 foot, 6 foot, 3 foot, 8 foot, all over the place. The kids that did that scored significantly higher than the kids that just practiced at 4 feet.
The ones that interleave.
Significantly higher. Like, yeah. Enough
well,
to talk about.
I will
about.
Say the Enki, or however you pronounce it, I don't know how you pronounce it, but the flashcard thing, it has that built into it, right? Like it
absolutely
will,
does, which is why it's such a great program.
If you answer really well on a question, or really quick, I guess you want to say on a question, because it also has a truth thing at the end, like, hey, how quick did you answer this question,
good,
or did you get
yeah.
it right, or
it's good, so great, or not so great, right?
So yeah, like, exactly. The time and varies. So if you answer that honestly, I think it's like if you answer really well, it'll say it won't bring that question back up for like the next 3 days.
It's space repetition. Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah.
So space repetition, there's a forgetting curve, and it varies, but they show it a significant drop off of like, I think it's like 3 to 5 days or something. Like, hope nobody quotes me on that. I don't really remember what it was exactly, but if you catch something while it's kind of falling off, that's when you really get it, right? Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like you were about to forget it. Like your brain was like almost like RAM versus hard drive, right? Your brain just kept it cached and never decided to move it to the hard drive, but you were like, wait a minute, that needs to go save as, right? And if you catch it as it's going, like that's the spot. But the reason why you're testing yourself is that same thing, right? The flashcards are that. They're you testing yourself. The more
you. Last question on flashcards. You only put things on you don't know, right? If I know something, there's no reason to put it on a flashcard.
That depends. Like, yeah, you don't want to toss yourself a softball, but make something you right. know hard on yourself. So this is why this is so difficult, right? But it's the same reason why it's so efficient. It's because it's so difficult because it doesn't make sense. Like, why would I make this so freaking hard on myself? But that's what you need to be doing, right? You need to put yourself through hell for this to make sense. Like, all right, don't kill yourself. but
you're making it hard because that's how you're going to develop the memories and you're going to be able to recall
it. That's how
test,
we learn,
right?
And everybody says this too.
Lift the weights. Think,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, okay, so check this out. And I'll give you another example because it drives me nuts when people say this. Like, well, I learn like this. That's not true at all. We're all humans. Stop thinking you're so special. You're not. We're all the same. We all have brains. They all operate literally the exact same way, like almost to a T. There are some people that were born gifted. There's a very small percentage of people. We're all essentially the same. You may have a preferred learning style, but oddly enough, when someone says, I learn this way, or this is how I learn, what they're saying to you is, I prefer to learn this way. And what they're really saying to you is, this is what's the easiest for me. And what that really means is that I don't get out this as much as I should. So If you hate sitting in a classroom, let me tell you something. There's a reason why you hate that. It's because it's not easy.
Hard.
It's hard. Raise your hand and ask a question. Like, don't tell me you don't like sitting in a classroom because there's a guy there or a girl there to help you. That person is there to help. They get paid to help you. That's such a valuable resource. Now, if you're reading a white paper and it doesn't make sense to you, then yeah, like what are you going to do about that? Right? Like, go find a video, I guess. It's just super, super easy. But like, oh, I can't read because of this. I prefer to watch videos. I'm sure you do. Because you just click play and you sit there, right? Like, yeah, you know what I prefer to do, which is why I said earlier, like, if I only had $100, I'm buying a boson test. I might redact that to say, like, I'll just get the OCG because it has a bunch of test questions with it, which we know now, but, and that's enough to get me by. But yeah, I can come up with whatever gaps I don't get. Like, if I find a subject that I really suck at, I'll give myself a bazillion questions on that. Like, every little nuance, and I'll make it so general when I ask the question, so I won't know what I'm asking myself. Like, what sort of details should I give here? You know? Like, if the card says, like, describe OSPF, like, where do you start? Like, but the thing is, if you have to answer it, you will. And if the point is to get out as much information as possible, you will. You'll start spouting off LSA types. You'll be like, oh, but... if you were running into this issue, you would have to use this, but that's an extension of that, and they've already solved for that. And always make sure that you summarize here because this could happen, right? Also, remember to add this if you were going to leak that route to another protocol or whatever. You know, so it's like, it's just trying to get yourself out of a comfort zone, I guess is the best way to put it. I guess we'll slash end rant there since that took like 25 minutes.
That was a good... That was great, a fantastic point, answer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've gone long enough on this. Hopefully we've answered your questions.
Whether you had them or not,
right? Yeah. All right. And we'll catch you next time.
Later.
See ya. Hey, everyone. This is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Art of Net Eng. That's Art of NETENG. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.